This is Washington Watch with Tony Perkins, your voice in Washington, D.C. on the issues of faith, family, and freedom. And now, the weekend edition of Family Research Council's Washington Watch.
Hello and welcome to the weekend edition of Washington Watch with Tony Perkins. I'm your host, David Salkeld, a constitutional conservative, husband, and homeschool dad. Coming up a little later in the show, we'll be hearing from Terry Jeffrey as he and Tony talk about the president's budget proposal released last week, as well as his trip to Israel. Also, Family Research Council's Watchmen on the Wall conference was held this week in Washington, D.C., and Pastor Waxer Tipton from the beautiful state of Hawaii will talk about the conference as well as his church's battle for religious liberty. But first, the news early last week of another suicide bombing, this one in Manchester, England, causes us to pause once again and mourn the tragic loss of life at the hands of Islamic terrorists. Congressman Ted Poe of Texas, who is on the House Foreign Affairs Committee, joins Tony now to discuss his concerns about U.S. security.
Congressman Poe, welcome back to Washington Watch.
Thank you, Tony. Always good to talk to you.
Well, Congressman, I'm sure that as you are tracking the events that have taken place this week since the bombing in Manchester, England, other authorities in our country here in the United States are taking notice of these events. We saw this arrest in Minneapolis of these two men with Middle Eastern connections. Is there reason for concern here in the United States?
Yes, Tony, I believe that there is. ISIS has not given up or quit in its determination to do as much evil as it possibly can. And ISIS has made it clear that anyone in the West, especially Christian nations, are targets of ISIS in any way that they can commit crimes. So I think that we're going to see more of these types of attacks in Europe, England, and I think that we may possibly see them in the United States as well, because ISIS has not been deterred.
Now, in the wake of the bombing in England, in the apparent leak of some leaks regarding information there, the Prime Minister the British Prime Minister Theresa May has complained to the U.S. about leaks regarding that attack. What's behind this? We're seeing a lot of leaks coming out of this administration. Is this something that concerns you?
A great deal. This has been going on since President Trump took office. It's almost a daily occurrence where people that are embedded in government, many have come from the private or a previous administration. They are hangovers from the previous administration, in my opinion. And they are doing what they can to undermine the presidency by leaking information. Some of that information is classified information. The people who leak classified information are committing crimes of felonies in the United States. They not only should go to prison, but they should be terminated from their job. And this is an ongoing occurrence now. The United Kingdom has said that they don't want to cooperate with giving us information about the Manchester bombing because we got that information, and people in the United States leaked it to the press before the United Kingdom was ready for it to be leaked, and it compromised the UK's investigation of other potential terrorists that were involved in this this scheme in Manchester. So it's very disturbing. The leakers who leaked classified information should be fired, should go to prison. The other question is, well, what about the press that prints classified information? That's a little bit different situation historically in the United States. The press is not liable for printing classified information. The criminal is liable for leaking that information.
I have to think, Congressman, that if you have one of our strongest allies, England, Great Britain, saying, all right, we're not going to be able to share information with you because of these leaks, that then has implications for our own security, does it not?
No question about it. We, for years, the UK and the United States have shared information even pre-World War II. And able to do so with the confidence that it would go no further. And in wartime, when you're in that situation, it's especially important. And so, yes, the trust between the two countries is broken because of the fact that people, apparently in the United States, leaked the information to the press. That is very unfortunate. I think it will take a long time to rebuild that, but we don't get to start rebuilding that trust until we stop the leaks in the administration.
So you believe, Congressman, this is coming from individuals who were held over or other individuals who were in this current administration, working under this current administration, that this is intentional to undermine this administration?
That's my opinion. That's what I think about it. The other motives could be for money or something like that. I don't see that they're getting any money to do this. I just think it's people who see a way that they can undermine the legitimacy of the administration, and constant leaks from the White House is one way to do that. Some of those are classified, some of those are not classified, and it's been ongoing almost on a daily basis.
And it surely, this surely does shake the confidence of the American people in the government when you have information that is leaking out, which is detrimental to our international relationships and our national security.
No question about it, and that's why the president is certainly right to pursue a thorough investigation of the criminal conduct and the leaks that are coming out of the administration. Who's doing it? And if they are committing crimes, then, like I said, lock them up, fire them.
Well, Congressman, I know you've served as a state judge in Texas. You and I have we've actually traveled together to Israel, and so I know your background. People are accustomed to Washington being a city of problems and controversy and all that kind of stuff. But given your background, your knowledge, your understanding of what's at stake here, how serious is the problem in your view right now?
I think it's very serious. It's the most serious. This is the most serious type of problem I've seen since I've been here in Congress. I came in during the Bush administration and Obama administration. We've never seen any leaks like this, whether they're legal or illegal. Both of those, we have never seen it in our history. So I think it's a tremendous problem, and our country must have credibility with other countries. But we have to find out who is committing crimes that could endanger American security by leaking information to anyone else, including the press.
Hmm. Congressman Ted Poe, as always, great to talk with you. Thanks for joining us on this Thursday afternoon.
Good to talk to you too, Tony.
You can find out more about Representative Poe when you visit tonyperkins.com. While you're there, why don't you consider a gift to Family Research Council as they continue to fight for your values in Washington, D.C. and around the country. Again, that's tonyperkins.com. Don't go away. We'll be right back with a look at the president's budget proposal right after this.
Mark your calendars for the 2017 Values Voter Summit on October 13th through 15th in Washington, D.C. This is a must-attend event to inform and mobilize Americans to protect religious liberty, champion traditional values, strengthen national security, and limit the size of government. Invited speakers include President Donald Trump, Vice President Mike Pence, Secretary Ben Carson, Ambassador Nikki Haley, Senator Ted Cruz, Franklin Graham, and many more. Register now at the early bird price of $99. Visit valuesvotersummit.org for more information.
Welcome back to the weekend edition of Washington Watch. I'm your host, David Salkeld. On Wednesday's edition of Washington Watch Live with Tony Perkins, Tony was joined by the editor-in-chief of CNS News, Terry Jeffrey. Terry was in the press pool as President Trump visited Israel and Rome this past week, and he joined Tony to talk about that trip as well as the president's budget proposal. Here now is Tony Perkins.
Terry, welcome back to Washington Watch.
Hey, how you doing?
I'm doing well. I know you've been busy combing through that budget. I mean, $4 trillion, it takes you a long time to add all that up. What's it look like? What's the top line here?
I think it's an excellent budget. There's some very fundamental things that happen in this budget that America needs to see. For example, it's going to reform Medicaid. We have almost 75 million people on Medicaid in this country, up 17 million from when Obamacare started. And this is going to roll that back. It's going to roll back food stamps. Another program that has exploded is going to completely, absolutely completely defund Planned Parenthood, which needs to be done. And it's going to cut taxes. And it's eventually, it's not until 10 years, but it does put the federal government on a path to balance. And I would like to see them speed that up. But it is cutting back on government, cutting back on taxes, and heading toward a balance.
Put this in context, Terry, for our listeners. When was the last time we saw a budget like this?
You know what? I don't think we've ever, in modern times, seen a budget like this, Tony. I quite frankly, I think it's the most remarkable budget I've ever seen. For example, aside from defunding Planned Parenthood, he's going to eliminate federal funding for the Corporation for Public Broadcasting. He's going to eliminate, get rid of, the National Endowment for the Arts, the Legal Services Corporation. All these agencies that basically are spending money to empower the left, President Trump is calling for getting rid of. That together with the fact that he's actually calling for rolling back the welfare state with those Medicaid and food stamp reforms, I think it's really quite remarkable.
I mean, let me tell you, folks, that's a remarkable statement coming from Terry. I mean, Terry's been around here a long time. He's seen these things. And for you to put such a strong statement of approval on it, I mean, that says a whole lot about this budget. And when you look at it, I mean, it's fiscally responsible. But we're already hearing the squealing, the moaning, the gnashing of teeth on Capitol Hill, and it's not just from Democrats.
No, I mean, I think the question here, Tony, is whether Paul Ryan and Mitch McConnell and the Republican majorities in Congress follow through on what President Trump is asking them to do, because he's asking them to do the right thing. And by the way, although this is the most remarkable budget I've seen, it's actually very moderate in some ways. I mean, many of the things the federal government has been doing since the time of Woodrow Wilson, and especially since the time of FDR, are quite frankly not constitutional,
right,
let alone the fact that they're leading the country towards bankruptcy. And Trump isn't calling for eliminating Medicaid. He's not calling for eliminating food stamps. But he is calling to seriously reform them and roll them back, which is realistic. And eliminating these programs like the National Endowment for the Arts that he's calling for eliminating is realistic. And Mike Pence, by the way, who I believe is a great vice president, when he was a member of the House, he went down to the floor in promoting his own bill to defund Planned Parenthood.
Right.
And he correctly said it's not moral. It is immoral for Congress to take taxpayers' money and give it to the nation's leading abortionists. Mike Pence is right. Donald Trump is acting on it. We need to see Mike Pence's old colleagues in Paul Ryan's House of Representatives follow through on that.
Well, it's going to require the American people backing up Donald Trump, because I was on Capitol Hill a couple times this week since the budget was introduced, and members say, yeah, it's a nice starting point, but we got to do our budget. And I think there will be an effort to try to push it aside. But as you point out, the things that this president's rolling back, things that constitutionally the government shouldn't be doing to begin with. But look at the response to the CBO score on the repeal and replace of Obamacare. The moaning that's taking place over the fact that they are projecting, you know, less people would be covered by health care. Well, is that a primary purpose of the federal government? I mean, I would say no. But anytime you change something and roll something back, whether the government should be doing it or is doing it effectively, doesn't seem to matter.
Well, exactly. You know, if people actually look at what the CBO says about the increase in quote-unquote uninsured people, a lot of them, in fact, the majority of them, are people who aren't going to buy health insurance because the federal government...
They won't have to.
Right, isn't ordering them to do so,
right,
in an unconstitutional manner. There will be no penalty for not buying health insurance. People will be free not to buy health insurance, which is the way they were just 3 years ago. But you're right, it's so difficult to roll back one of these things once you create it. And so if they follow through on that, the American Health Care Act, and they follow through on Trump's budget, we've taken a giant step back in the right direction. It hasn't reestablished the true federalist order of the Constitution, but it is a remarkable and unprecedented step back in that direction.
So, Terry Jeffrey, do you think that the Trump administration will have the political muscle to move this budget through?
I think they have the grassroots with them. I think it was to do exactly this kind of thing that President Trump was elected. I think voters see that the country basically is, on one level, is polarized between people who want to be dependent on government and political parties and individuals who want the mass of the American people to be dependent on government, and those who are self-sufficient and who are paying, quite frankly, with their tax dollars for the people who are dependent on government. I think a lot of Americans were losing their hope in the prospect that we could have a government that would actually stand up against that. I think they looked at Trump and they saw him as an unconventional character, that part of that unconventionality might be his willingness to go to Washington, stand up against the establishment of both parties, and start changing things, which is what this budget did. So I think if President Trump fights for it, if conservative grassroots folks fight for it, that they can win this, and I think it's necessary to win it, because if we continue going down the road we've been going on, this country will go bankrupt.
Maybe the last chance to do it.
Yes.
Terry Jeffrey, as always, great to talk with you. Thanks for joining us.
Thank you, Tony.
You can find out more about Terry Jeffrey when you visit TonyPerkins.com. Also, a quick reminder that your generous contributions to Family Research Council enable us to continue making these programs available, helping you stay informed on the issues that matter to you. You can donate when you visit TonyPerkins.com. When we come back, an insider's look at the Watchmen on the Wall conference held in Washington, D.C.
Imagine being threatened by the government for reading a magazine article. This is exactly what Don Vanderboon, owner of the West Michigan Beef Company, experienced when USDA inspectors threatened to shut down his operation because of reading material that they found in his company break room, which defended biblical marriage. In a special program hosted by FRC President Tony Perkins, you'll hear from real people whose freedom to believe has been affected in real ways, including Mr. Vanderboon himself. Go to frc.org/believe to watch this special presentation.
Welcome back to the weekend edition of Washington Watch. I'm David Salkeld. This week, hundreds of pastors from all around the country descended on Washington, D.C. for our annual Watchmen on the Wall conference. And one of those pastors is Waxer Tipton. He's a senior pastor of One Love Ministries in Honolulu, Hawaii, and he joined Tony to talk about his Watchmen experience.
Waxer, let's talk for a few moments today. We already heard from Congressman Mark Walker. We heard from Senator Roy Blunt, Todd Starnes, FoxNews.com, mm-hmm. Frank Turek, Jonathan Kahn, Rabbi Jonathan Kahn. What are your thoughts so far?
Well, again, amazing information, which is, to me, what's so necessary, because we become so isolated to exegete only our small community when you're a pastor. You know, we exegete the text and then our immediate community, and it's my larger community that has an impact on me. That's what Watchmen on the Wall does for me. When I come here, I'm made aware by these kinds of folks that I would not have exposure to know what's going on in the broader sense. That was my very first epiphany when I came here. Remember, I came kicking and screaming. I didn't really want to come. Jack Hibbs said, bro, you got to come. I'm like, oh, I'm not into watchdogs. You know, I'm a shepherd, you know, and all this kinds of stuff. And he's like, no, you don't know what you're talking about. You got to come.
I remember you sat in the back of the room in your flip-flops and shorts you know, I'm not listening.
Right. But see, what I noticed is that if I'm trying to change the world, but the world is changing around me, then how am I going to be effective? And so it was through the speakers. I remember exactly, you were talking about stem cell research, and here's what's being said, but here's the facts. And then you had a senator saying, I'm on the floor saying this, but no one's backing me up. And it was all of these things that really moved me to the last three P's. And so when you expressed those in the last day, I said, I was in. And since then, as you know, Hawaii is being changed because of taking those and moving and getting pastors involved there. But it's the information that's going to bring about transformation. And I need that as a pastor. I almost said kahu. That's our Hawaiian word. And so when I'm better informed, I'm better equipped.
And so as you've gone through this process, you're not just a pastor who's a watchman. You've become a watchman leader. Mm-hmm. You are leading Hawaii as our what we call our state chairman, our state leaders. And you've gotten very involved mm-hmm. in the state of Hawaii, working with elected officials. Did you ever envision that you would be doing these things?
No, not at all. And that was the transformation that took place here. I had the epiphany, sitting there in the back with my legs crossed, that Daniel had Nebuchadnezzar's ear. He didn't get in his face. That Nehemiah had Artaxerxes' ear. He wasn't in his face. And yet the church is always reaction, and so the government always sees them in their face. So I went back to Hawaii and figured out who was the senator of where my church was, and I went up to him and said, you were obviously called into public office like I was. How can I help you fulfill how you were called into this community? How can I help you do? And they just was like, wait, what's in it for you? What are you doing? And it was two or three times there praying with him like we did yesterday and showing up. I pray for each one of their sessions. And when it comes their turn to pray, we still pray in Hawaii to open up the session, which is amazing. But helping them in their communities. Then when situations have started to come, laws begin to be written and proposed that are contrary to our biblical worldview. They have actually, one of them actually called me. How amazing is that? Hey, pastor, I know this thing's going to pass. I know, what is it that I could do to help? What are some of the key things? And I thought that was amazing.
And it's all based on relationship.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And building bridges and serving. You know, again, Nebuchadnezzar, not a godly man, and yet Daniel served him. He even called him, you know, oh, great Nebuchadnezzar. So he honored the office. And I think sometimes we miss that in Christianity. Sometimes we just start blasting, and then we wonder why there isn't an opportunity to minister. There's no mutual respect. I respect a person in an office.
So, Pastor Waxer, you see kind of a different spirit here than what you anticipated.
Oh,
it's not
absolutely.
That in your face. It's
no.
More like, how can I come alongside and help you?
Exactly. Influence. So how can I influence? And first, it's by, you know, trust, information, learning how to speak. One of the best takeaways that I took away was from David Barton the first year. He said, we need to learn how to think theologically but speak secularly. And so you never use the word abomination when you're talking to a secular leader. You know, you talk about, well, impact. Impact on this would be dot, 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 and ramifications, and do you see how this opens up? And so that's how I've been able to influence some policies in Hawaii.
You, your church, One Love Ministries, mm-hmm. meeting in when I was there. I forget how long ago that was. It's mm-hmm. been a while.
Yeah. But,
And since I've been there, I haven't been able to practice my surfing.
Right.
That was the last time I surfed.
But you did great.
I stayed on the board.
On
my
the
head
record,
was above
folks.
Water. Yeah.
The Marine did good.
Yeah. Well, you were meeting at a school.
Correct.
And all of a sudden, something happened.
One day, a ream of paper got dropped in our front office, and it was a lawsuit from a couple claiming to be part of an atheist group, and they were calling it... A false claimed act, basically whistleblowers stating that we were frauding the state of Hawaii by meeting in the school and in improper relationships that crossed the lines of the separation of church and state, meaning the schools and the churches should not have been in this collaboration, quote unquote, by us meeting in the school and all the things that we were doing. We dropped about $100,000 a year in the school because my mindset was you don't use something, you partner with something.
Right.
Well, their mindset is that partnership was illegal and that I was actually manipulating the school by the benevolence that we were giving.
So, where do things stand?
Well, you know, one of the scariest things in your life, you know, in ministry, you prepare for everything except that. I never had lawsuit 101 in seminary, you know, and so that was a scary thing. And so thank God for Alliance Defending Freedom and met them again here, Watchmen on the Wall, would have never known anything about them. And they came in and then they argued that the whistleblower law, which is what they were claiming to doing, was not even... legitimate because everything they got was on the website or public access, and there was no collusion going on and so forth. So ADF made their arguments. The local judge agreed. Then the accuser chose to then take it to Supreme Court. So just last Friday we were at the state Supreme Court, and it's still there. And so now, from what I understand from the ADF attorneys, that it can last 8 to 10 months before they ever make a decision. So I would ask the general public to continue to pray because we are a precedent-setting case. ADF told me that the rest of the state is, even the rest of the country is watching to see what's taking place. So all the other ones have not moved forward because they were waiting to see what happens with ours. And the distinction, Tony, is this. The time we use the auditorium versus the time we were on the property. What I'm being sued for is boots on the ground because I said show up at 6 a.m. and pray, but we only charged from 8 to 1 to use the auditorium. But because there was people there until 2:30 cleaning up, we should have been charged from 6 to 2:30, completely ignoring the fact that when we showed up every morning at 6, there was people playing tennis, softball teams that were using the field, parents teaching their kids how to drive. So why would I be held at a different standard because I'm already paying to be on the property and utilizing this public property? I was even vilified in just last Friday's court for actually, he said, and they even fed people on the grass afterwards. Yeah, so there's homeless that don't want to leave their shopping carts, and so we had our food and we brought it out afterwards and we fed them, and how dare I do such a thing on school property.
So, Waxer, how has your congregation responded to all of this?
Well, obviously, first was fright, and then a little bit of frustration. God, what are you doing, and how come, and why would such a thing happen? And then the part that was so amazing to me is this. This is a Romans 8:28 story. So here we are at this beautiful location at the school. God is doing amazing things. You saw it. Mm-hmm. And then all of a sudden we have to move, and there's no place for us to move until this basically ghetto area in downtown Honolulu that was just warehouses and rotting down things and just completely. I lost several hundred people when we moved down there. They're like, I'm not going down to that area. It was that bad where we moved. Well, the joke is on Satan, and you know, because what man intended for evil, God is using for good. That is in the last 10 years become the new gentrified area of Honolulu. It's the fastest growing, most trendiest place to be. Every church is trying to find a way to plant in there, and guess who's got a long-term lease with already has a preschool, already has a skate park in there, and has a multi-ministry going with three or four services already.
That's so exciting.
That is exciting. And I want to encourage pastors and churches out there, when something comes and you think it's not going your direction, or why would God do so? It was actually the hand of God just moving us to an area that nobody knew would become the newest, hottest ticket.
Waxer, thanks so much for joining
us.
Great to see you. And if you walk out on the street dressed like that, if you get picked up, let me know. I'll come get you.
You can find out more about Watchmen on the Wall when you visit tonyperkins.com. If you missed any of today's program, you can find a link to all the stories when you visit that website. Also, while you're there, sign up for Tony's Washington Update. It's a daily email highlighting the important issues affecting your faith, family, and freedom. And if you find the weekend edition of Washington Watch informative and useful, we'd encourage you to tell your friends about Washington Watch. You can help us reach more people with this radio ministry by supporting our efforts and heading over to tonyperkins.com and clicking on the donate button. Well, that's it for this week's show. I'm David Salkeld, thanking you for being with us, and I encourage you to be back here next week for the weekend edition of Washington Watch with Tony Perkins.
The weekend edition of Washington Watch with Tony Perkins is a production of the Family Research Council in Washington, D.C. For more information on anything you've heard today, or if you'd like to find out how you can help support the ongoing efforts of the Family Research Council, visit tonyperkins.com. Also, to leave a comment about Washington Watch, call our watch line at 866-372-7234.